Today, the property predictions crystal ball is cloudy. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Just a quick reminder before we start that tonight at 8 p.m. Sydney time, Tony LeCantro from Alto Capital will be joining us for another exploration of the markets and his small cap picks. And you can join us live and ask a question via the YouTube chat. So mark your diaries, 8 p.m. Sydney tonight. I look forward to seeing you then. Well, let's first look at the latest from CoreLogic, who have released their full dwelling value results for December. And nationally, they say, dwelling values rose by 1% over December to be up 3.9% over the fourth quarter and by 22.1% over the calendar year. Now, that, of course, is an average. Houses and apartments perform differently, and also different parts of the country perform differently. Australia's regions led the price growth, growing 2.2% over the month, by 6.4% over the fourth quarter, and by 25.9% over the year. By comparison, though, Australia's combined capital cities grew by just 0.6% over December to be up 3.1% over the fourth quarter, and by 21% over the year on year. And interestingly, the quarterly price growth has re-accelerated across the regions because regional markets are seeing renewed momentum in the pace of value growth since March 2020. Housing values across regional Australia are up 32% compared to the 20% lift in value seen across the combined capital cities. The quarterly price growth in regional values rebounded through December, in contrast to slower momentum across the major capital city markets. Regional dwelling values were up 6.4% in the 3 months to December, compared to 5.1% recorded in the September quarter. This potentially reflects a new wave of demand as buyers exited the extended lockdowns in Sydney and Melbourne. And certainly we're seeing that locally in this area, south of Sydney, where a lot of interest from Sydney and surrounding areas is driving local property prices strongly higher. Inventory is low across regional Australia, with advertised stock levels finishing the year 35.9% below the five-year average. This compares to combined capital cities seeing stock 14.2% below the five-year average, and it's most likely the regional markets, especially those with lifestyle appeal, will continue to benefit from higher demand as remote working policies are more normalised and demand for holiday homes remains strong amid continued international border restrictions. But as interest rates begin to bottom out and affordability constraints extend to regional markets, these housing markets may also move into a downswing. A strong divergence has also risen across the major capitals, with Brisbane and Adelaide experiencing their strongest growth over the pandemic, while the other major capitals have moved much more slowly. And a two-speed market is emerging across the state capitals. While the pace of capital gains has been easing in Sydney, Melbourne and Perth, conditions across Brisbane and Adelaide have gathered momentum. And this is really the point, that you have to look granularly at what's going on. The slowing trend in Sydney and Melbourne can be explained by a bigger deposit hurdle caused by higher house prices alongside low income growth, as well as a recent surge in advertised inventory levels and weak demographic trends. Slower conditions across the Perth housing market may be more attributable to the disruption to interstate migration caused by extended closed state borders, which has had a negative impact on housing demand. In contrast, in Brisbane and Adelaide, housing affordability is less challenging, advertised stock levels remain remarkably low, and demographic trends continue to support housing demand. There's something like 50,000 people moving from Melbourne and Sydney up to Queensland, putting significant upward pressure there. So it's going to be an interesting question of what happens ahead, and that, of course, is where the crystal ball is very cloudy. But it is really hard to try and understand how this is going to play out, particularly as Brisbane is going to be inundated with cashed-up buyers from Sydney and Melbourne, but in other places, particularly investment sectors and particularly high-rise, maybe not so much, particularly if the borders remain closed thanks to the latest rounds of COVID and, of course, tighter lending restrictions. So the question is then, what is the outlook? And that's when things get really interesting. Well, some economists have said a house price correction is on the cards in Australia, echoing forecasts from the big four banks. A research note from Natixis, economists, including the firm's chief economist for Asia Pacific and also the Japan Pacific economist, have predicted Australia's surging house prices might be heading towards a reversal after reaching the highest historical levels in November. It noted the froth in the local market, measured by the gap between housing price increases and disposable income growth, has accelerated to 24.6% in the third quarter of 2021. Demand supply has also tightened, with the nation's vacancy rate falling to 1.6% in October. That's the lowest level since 2011. But they noted the conditions that had underpinned the strong performance of the housing market are shifting, with the tight demand-supply condition expected to deteriorate. Private housing construction approvals had surged off the back of the Reserve Bank's policies to maintain low interest rates with yield curve control and quantitative easing. But as building work is set to complete, the vacancy rate could rise unless demand matches the increasing supply. With accelerating housing approvals, supply is bound to increase, the report explained. Furthermore, demand will probably not follow up as housing debt has risen to historically high levels of 140% of income. Wages have stagnated over the past decade, while housing debt has remained close to a historically high level of 140% of disposable income, they noted. Further, the pandemic had squeezed population growth, with the Omicron variant anticipated to keep tight border controls in place. Foreign demand has been on a downward trend since the Foreign Investment Review Board restricted investments from overseas in 2015, they said. All in all, the vacancy rate should soon start to rise. And further, regulatory intervention is expected to have an impact. APRA's increased buffer for assessing borrowers' serviceability to withstand higher interest rates is expected to reduce the maximum borrowing capacity for a typical borrower by around 5%. And they said that the Reserve Bank will still be cautious and will start lifting the cash rate in the second half of 2023, despite others projecting a rise as soon as this year. Even with a rather slow exit of the currently very lax monetary stance, an increasing vacancy rate in the near future could lead the way to a market correction, their research notes said. Eventually, with wage growth remaining structurally weak, a high interest rate could destabilize the housing market. And certainly the big four banks economists and real estate industry players have forecast the market won't replicate the same pricing frenzy that we saw in 2021, with prices still expected to increase, but just at a slower rate. The chair of industry body Property Investment Professionals explained there are a number of reasons property prices will deaccelerate. The supply of houses for sale will increase as lockdowns have been lifted and restrictions on interstate travel have been eased, they wrote in the 2022 Bricks and Mortar Media Property Forecast Report. Banks will lift their lending rates and or assessment rates, which means less people will be able to borrow money to buy property. This is in addition to the RBA lifting or threatening to lift the cash rate in 2022. In 2021, property prices hit annual growth rates of 20.6% for the 12 months to November, based on CoreLogic data. For houses alone, prices were 22.2% higher over the year to November, adding around $126,700 to the median value of an Australian home. But a shift in population as migration between capital cities and regional areas continues is expected to keep pushing property prices and rents up. Further, the international borders are set to open, with overseas migrants and international students set to return. Demand for property will increase significantly, initially putting pressure on rents, but this will flow on to property prices, he said. However, there has already been a softening in price movements, with November seeing a 1.3% rise in house price values. That's the smallest incline recorded by CoreLogic since January. The big four banks have projected that there will be a rapid slowdown in 2022 before an eventual correction in 2023. ANZ has tipped that there will be a national price fall of 4% in 2023 to follow a 6% rise in 2022. CBA modelling has pointed to a 10% fall in 2023 to coincide with a cash rate to 1.25%. After a 7% rise in 2022, NAB expects dwelling prices will have a more subdued 5% increase in 2022. And meanwhile, Westpac released a forecast tipping price growth will moderate to 8% in 2022 before a 5% correction in 2023. If APRA takes further actions to tighten lending following its raised serviceability interest rate buffers, though, some observers, such as advisability buyers agent Kate Hill, believe the housing market could cop further impacts. Next year, APRA could also play a role for property buyers, but the financial regulator does seem to be all bark and no bite this time around, as Hill stated in that 2022 Bricks and Mortar Property Forecast Report. If they intervene more strongly, then that will have an impact on market conditions. SQM Research forecasts no further actions from APRA would result in a stronger property price rise, projecting a 3-8% uptick in 2022 instead of a maximum increase of 5%. If the regulator did take action, the property research firm has projected that the resulting price falls will be led by Sydney and Melbourne, after their markets were the most affected by APRA intervention in 2017. The reopening of international borders and the return of international students and international skilled labour to cities are expected to drive a stronger demand for apartments. Buyer's Domain principal Nick Viner commented investors will be looking towards vacant apartments that have not been used during the pandemic, particularly in university areas. Investors will be returning to the market take advantage of these new trends, he said. He was echoed by Grant Foley, buyer's agent from Grant Foley Property, who wrote, "If international borders open as planned, vacancy rates will fall and rents will rise, making the Sydney unit market even more attractive to investors, with many high-income Sydney professionals and top-tier corporates traditionally preferring to invest in their own backyard." New housing loans for investors reached $9.7 billion in October. That's the highest level since April 2015, when the segment reached a $10 billion peak. But Ben Kingsley, chair of Property Investors Council of Australia, has warned APRA's next steps could affect investors, particularly after its serviceability buffer rate rise was expected to hit the segment harder than owner-occupiers. It's clear APRA's agenda on the risk in the investor lending space has a flow-on impact to banks and ultimately the consumer in high interest rates for investor loans, Kingsley stated in the Bricks and Mortar report. This could have some lasting effects on property investor demand levels, or at least keep them in check. Some have predicted the pandemic-forced trend of working remotely to be a permanent shift. Foley, for example, said that the anticipated COVID-induced change will see migration out of capital cities continuing as employees gain flexibility in their working arrangements. I don't believe we've reached peak relocation at this stage, so I expect aspirational and regional lifestyle markets will continue to outperform for some time yet. However, others, such as Marcus Roberts, founder of Brighter Finance, expects the COVID-induced sea and tree change to slow down. He believes people will move into suburbs closer to the city as they start moving back to working from the office. When it comes to investment properties, though, the trend we're expecting to see is more investors purchasing properties outside of Sydney, in Western Sydney, regional areas, and also Queensland, he said. A few inside the property industry have tipped that Brisbane and its surrounding regions in southeast Queensland will continue their uptick in price growth, though. Streamline Property Buyers Managing Director Melinda Jennison believes that after the state border reopened in mid-December, more interstate migrants will add to the already heightened demand in the Sunshine State's capital. The reopening of international borders is also expected to add further pressure. Brisbane property price growth is leading the nation, and we expect this may continue in the months ahead, she wrote in that same report. Mr. Foley, buyer's agent from Grant Foley Properties, suggested prices in Brisbane will rise by a further 10 to 15% in 2022, fueled by interstate migration and investor activity, in contrast to his moderate prediction for a 5 to 10% rise in Sydney. The Brisbane market could slow at some stage next year if prices stretched to a level where affordability became a concern, and if there were further constrictions on lending or rises in fixed interest rates. But Ms. Jennison has said there is still no sign of that yet. We expect regulatory changes or a rate rise to have less of an impact on the Brisbane market due to it being more affordable relative to the larger cities of Sydney and Melbourne. With listings currently 33.9% lower across Brisbane in the four-week period to 28th of November compared to the five-year average, there is clearly a shortage of properties for the heightened demand we have been experiencing through the city. At this stage, we are seeing no signs of this, a substantial rise in listing volumes, but it is an indicator to keep an eye on in the early months of 2022. And finally, we'll just look at some of the latest data. So the Reserve Bank released the financial aggregates to November 2021 on the 23rd of December 2021. And it showed that in the month of November, total credit rose 0.9%, housing was up 0.7%, personal lending was up 0.6%, and business credit was up 1.6%. And that gave 12-month growth levels of 6.6% for total credit, 7.1% for housing, a fall of 3.5% over 12 months for personal borrowing, and a rise of 7.3% for business, with the broad money supply up 8.3%. So let's look at the monthly data. Now, this, of course, is always very noisy data, so we must be careful about interpretation of the data, but it shows that housing was up 0.68% over last month. That's the total balance is outstanding. That owner occupation growth grew by 0.8%, while investment lending grew by 0.42%. So, in fact, there was a bit of a tick up. It'll be interesting to see whether the APRA data and the new lending data from the ABS shows the same story. Personal lending was up 0.61%. There has been a bit of a rise in personal credit. Some of that could be explained by the sales in November, the reopening, and, of course, people preparing for Christmas. And business lending was strongly up as well, at 1.55%. But again, this is a noisy series, so we must be careful not to draw too much from it. We can also then look at the total credit, up 0.94%. So we can see that's a pretty strong result. And broad money was up 0.87%, so still significantly above long-term trend. The more reliable annual data shows that housing credit grew by 0.07% over the last 12 months. That's a very strong level now and consistent with where we were in 2015-2016. Within that, owner-occupier lending is now 9.31%, and that's a very strong result, pretty much where it was at the peak in June 2016. So I think the regulators will be concerned about this rate of credit growth. Investment lending was also stronger, 2.95% higher, but you can see there that the trend is still significantly below where it was back in 2015 and 16 before APRA intervened. Personal credit still down 3.54% over the last 12 months and is still weaker than where we started. Part of that is because many people are now using buy now, pay later, and other forms of credit that don't actually get caught in these statistics. Unfortunately, the reporting mechanisms are way behind the market. But business credit was strong, up 7.28%. Some of that could be to do with year-end preparations, but also there is definitely some momentum as businesses were offered cheap loans to be able to get back to work after COVID. Be interesting to see how much of that stays and how much is ultimately repaid. And just in terms of the total aggregate credit, credit grew by 6.62% over the last 12 months, which puts it at a position at its peak in 2015 again. And the broad money supply is still significantly above credit growth at 8.3%. and continues. Part of that, of course, is the ongoing stimulus and support mechanisms that are in place for both businesses and some consumers. Those are being withdrawn now, so it'll be interesting to see what happens to broad money ahead and whether the credit growth continues or whether the credit growth eases back. And remember that credit growth is a very important leading indicator of potential house price movements, which is where I came into this discussion in the first place, because it seems to me that maybe the momentum in credit that we're seeing here, if it continues, will be sufficient to maintain momentum in property prices, particularly amongst houses. And that could well go on into next year until such time as either APRA intervenes further or rate rises come through. I do think that we will see further weakness, so there won't be another 22% rise or more over the next 12 months, but there will be potentially some strength in some sub-markets. Once again, I always say you need to go granular. You can't just take these aggregate averages. But I have to say, looking out over 2023 and beyond, that's when I think things get very wobbly, and we would expect to see potentially some sliding of prices then. And the big unknown factor, of course, is what the Federal Reserve does. Because if the Federal Reserve really lifts rates strongly, as they may do, say March this year now, this could lead to a significant disturbance in banks' funding and a rise in mortgage rates here in Australia. And remember this, the cash rate may not move, but mortgage rates are already significantly higher for fixed rate borrowers compared with where they were. And a lot more people now are on variable rate loans, which means they are exposed if, in fact, banks have to put the rates up because the costs of funds are likely to rise. That, for me, is the other factor that a lot of people are not taking account of. Now, in addition, of course, APRA has released their monthly authorised deposit-taking institution statistics to the end of November. And once again, we see a slight increase in the momentum of credit. Bearing in mind, of course, that house prices, I think, hit their peak in November. Not surprising, perhaps, that credit was also quite strong. Question is, where does it go next? But if we look at the credit statistics in more detail, we'll be able to get a sense of what has been going on, at least up till the end of November. Again, bearing in mind, this is the gross outstanding balances at the banks. In other words, it's new loans, less loans repaid and refinanced, and existing balances. The ABS data will tell us about new loans. So let's start with the change over the month. And owner-occupied lending at the banks was up 0.9%. For investment lending was up 0.3%, and that gave us a 0.69% total lift in balances at the banks. Now, looking at the total, the loans outstanding rose again to $1.913 trillion. We'll be close to $2 trillion before you know it. And within that, owner-occupied lending was rising faster compared with investment lending. As a result of that, the percentage of lending for investment purposes fell again. It's now 34.17%. And then the other perspective is to look at the selected portfolio movements amongst the lenders. Commonwealth was leading the way, a very significant uptick in the month on both investment and owner-occupied lending. Westpac, owner-occupied up, investment down. NAB, Macquarie, Bendigo, all quite strong. ANZ continuing to throttle back investment lending, and some of the other smaller players also quite active. But there is still some differentiation between strategies amongst the lenders, and I do find it interesting that ANZ and Westpac are continuing to veer away from investment lending. So it'll be interesting to see how this information translates into the new loan movements, which of course the ABS will report quite soon. And on that front, I'll just make the point that the ABS will be releasing their lending indicators on the 14th of January, which is extremely late, obviously having extended holidays and all the rest of it. It's a bit shameful in my view. Should have been out a lot sooner, because that is important information with regard to new loans. So we'll have to just hold our breath and wait and see what they come up with later on. So my net conclusion is it's very hard to know precisely how this is going to play out. I don't think we're going to see as strong growth this year as last. I think there will be some patches where there will continue to be some momentum, but I also think things are going to get more chaotic ahead, and therefore people need to be thinking about what happens when rates rise and make sure they're not over-leveraged and over-borrowed. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.